God created man. He created man out of the dust of the earth. This is chapter 2 in Genesis, not chapter 1. Not chapter 1. In chapter 1, he created male and female. And I believe that was in the spirit. In chapter 2, he took the dust of the earth and he created man. So that's when man, that's when a man appeared on the earth. I believe we're spirit beings, and we were actually created in a spiritual realm before we put the, we got the earth suit on. So that's what happened to Adam, and I believe that's what happened to us. We're, we are a spirit being. We just happen to have an earth suit on, okay? So he created Adam, and then he said, I want you, you're in charge of this place. And he put him there, right? Man is still supposed to be in charge of this place. So if you, if I had a whiteboard, I would draw three boxes and I would put one on top of the other. I'd go A, B, and C. A is God, B is man, C is the earth that we're supposed to have dominion over. Well, what has the enemy done? The enemy can't get to God, so he goes down to box B and he takes man out. And man has been systematically removed from our position of authority starting decades ago. And it's done very subtly, but it's done under a long-term plan. And slowly but surely, man has been kind of dumbed down and removed from his position of authority. And God wants to change that. He wants to bring that back. He wants to bring that back. So I am kind of observant, and so I look at a lot of things, and in fact, I'm so observant that Janet, my wife, doesn't want me to drive the car when she's in it. Because when I drive, I've got like a 180-degree vision. I'm looking at everything, and if there happens to be a construction job site in view, I'm like cranking my head around, looking at everything, looking at the tower crane, and so I don't watch the road as much as I should. So that kind of freaks her out. So we've just agreed that when we're in the car together, she drives and I look. So, but I am I watch and I notice things. And one of the things I notice is when men get in an elevator. And when women get in an elevator, and this is always, I find this interesting, and you'll notice this here too. So like when men get in an elevator and they generally don't speak to each other, but if they do, let's say it's a long ride or something. Let's say you're in the Sears Tower, right? And you're going 100 floors. Well, you're kind of forced into conversation. So what do men do? What's the first thing they say to like each other? They go, well, like, hi, you know, like, I'm Bob, what do you do? They always go to what do you do, right? Men go to what do you do, right? That's the last thing women talk about. They don't care what they do, right? When Janet gets in the elevator and meets other women, by the time she gets to the bottom floor, those people are probably in her will. There's just this, like, a connection that takes place in a matter of minutes, and it has nothing to do with what you do, right? That's way down here somewhere. They don't even care. In fact, if they talk about it, they probably forget it, you know? They connect, like, on a different level than we do. But that is not, what we do is not wrong. It's not wrong. It kind of goes to how God made us. He made us way differently, right? We are called to a spot to have dominion over an area, and we've gotten away from that, and we've really gotten away from, and the Lord is calling us now back into our spot of dominion, because things are going to change, and don't think for a moment that that's for somebody else and that's not for you. Each one of you have a position of dominion that the Lord's calling you into, it's like now. It's like now. So, have you guys seen the movie Top Gun? Most everybody's probably watched it. Top Gun was like one of my favorite movies. I could watch it over and over again, and I love it, right? Well, Tom Cruise is a star. He's the F-16 fighter pilot. And there's an event that's taking place where he's called into action, right? So he's got to jump in his jet, jump off that carrier, and engage. Well, I think the Lord is calling all of us now to engage. Now, this was predetermined. You all have your own sphere of influence that he needs you to make a difference in. But it's going to start with a little bit of introspection, who you are, how you got to where you are today, and what's going on. What's going on inside of you, right? Now, I came across this in the Epoch Times. Does anybody read the Epoch Times? That newspaper. And I thought it was pretty appropriate because, hey, we're in the mountains, we're kind of in cowboy country out here. So I came across this this thing, it's called the Cowboy Code. And it has 11 different things that are pretty interesting. And I thought I would just share this stuff with you guys. Actually, there's 13. But this is an old cowboy, and he talks about his life and like what kind of like makes a man. And he starts by saying, yep, I'm a cowboy by choice, and I'm branded for life. I've worked as a cowboy all over the country. I worked for the rancher or the cattleman and still do. I'm 72 years old and still a cowboy because I've never owned a cow. When you own cattle, you're a rancher or a cattleman, and you should no longer go to the handle of cowboy. The cowboy code applies to all true cowboys, and if you break one of these, you're no longer a cowboy. So it was kind of interesting. This guy's 72 years old, and he's lived a life of integrity, and these are the things that he talked about. When you meet or are introduced to a lady, you remove your hat and say, pleased to meet you, ma'am. A lady is 3 years old to 150 years old, and regardless of the look of your hat hair when you take your hat off, this tells the ladies that you are a true cowboy that respects all ladies. If you meet one you don't respect, then just walk away after pulling your hat back on. So, the second thing he says, live each day with courage. If need be, then die for the Creator, the family, the friends, and the country. Sometimes for someone you don't know. That's an interesting concept that we've kind of gotten away from. Live each day with courage. In the days ahead, and maybe it's already happened to you guys, you're going to be asked to make decisions about things that are going to require courage. And it's best if you get that settled in your heart before the challenge comes. When you don't settle things ahead of time in your heart, you're put into a situation and the enemy starts negotiating with you. Well, it's okay to do this time, you can do this next time, right? And you give away some territory. So it's really important to get settled in your heart on what you're going to say yes to and what you're going to say no to. And there's things coming at us right now that we're going to have to figure out what side of the fence we're on. The next thing he talks about is take pride in your work. Do the best you can because you ride for the brand. That means your boss is your master. If you don't respect your master, then saddle up and ride away. So that's just kind of a simple, interesting concept. Whether you work for yourself or you work for a company, you go do your best. You do it as to unto the Lord, regardless of the circumstances. And your work will speak for itself. And you will you will draw the attention of other people, and other people will go, well, there's something about that guy, you know? The next one is do what needs to be done and beyond what folks expect. This will put you above what's below. Sometimes the job requires X, and when you do X, Y, and Z, people take notice, you know? When you do a job and you do it to the letter of the law and you go, I'm done, that's, I guess, what people expect. But when you go above and beyond, and I'll give you an example. Janet loves animals, and she's a bit of a dog whisperer. She takes care of people's dogs when they go on vacation, and a lot of people would call that like a dog walker, which means she would go to their house, take the dog out, walk the dog for 20 minutes, and bring it back, and her job is done. She goes well beyond that, to the degree that the animal really likes Janet. She was in charge of this one animal, and we had it for a week. When the people came to pick the dog up, the dog wouldn't go to the owner. The dog like growled at the owner and wanted to stay with Janet. And it's like, this is because she operates out of the love of her heart, and she goes beyond and beyond for, you know, like for these animals. And it's like, you know, so that's just an example of like kind of doing a little bit more than you're asked to do. Next one is always finish what you start. Think before starting. You know, and the Bible tells us to count the cost of what's required to do this endeavor. Don't start something and then quit and go, you know, that really wasn't for me, or here's kind of an interesting one. I prayed for it, and the Lord told me to do something different. That's interesting. Halfway through the job, you quit. Whatever you start, finish, and you'll make a statement. Be tough but fair. Don't back off from what you know to be right. But sometimes right is wrong, and sometimes wrong is right. We all have been given a sense of right and wrong. We have a conscience. We know when we go down the wrong road, we start to turn that way. There's something, there's a little bell that goes off inside. We know we're not doing exactly the right thing. Then an excuse will float in. Yes, but because of this, it's okay to do this. Right, this standard is a plumb line, okay, and you either line up with it or you don't. And I'm not being judgmental. I'm being practical, right? We get in trouble as men because we veer 3 degrees off that plumb line. You know, the enemy never asks you to rob a bank because you'd say no, I'm not going to rob a bank, but. He thinks it's okay if you fill out your 1040 and you check a box you're not supposed to check, or something like that, right? Or if you fill out your expense report and it inflated a line or something like that. That's not robbing a bank, but that's 3 degrees off center. That's not where the Lord wants us. And remember, Jesus said, the enemy has nothing inside of me, right? So far as it is able for us to do, we are to keep this temple clean, and we are to not give the enemy a foothold anywhere. Now, are we perfect? No. Do we make mistakes? Yes. But we are to keep a short list with the Lord and ask Him to forgive us and bring, you know, ask Him for forgiveness every day. You know, when on D-Day, When the Allies invaded France, when they started the big offensive to go after Germany, they landed on several beaches in France, and it was D-Day, and without that foothold, that toehold on that beach, they can't push forward, right? The enemy looks at us the same way. He just wants a stepping point. He just wants a first step in our life. And once he gets that first step, he can establish a beachhead and he can push in. Now, we don't want that. We don't want that. We live in a different society. We're not an agrarian society anymore. We don't like work hard all day, read the Bible at night, go to sleep and start the whole process over again. We're bombarded by these little things all day long. And you think about this, this is really a clever trick of the enemy to take something that appears to be pretty useful and convenient and bombard us with crap. And you know, everybody uses these. But what comes through this little thing can be pretty bad. I mean, what's in your head, what's in your heart. Now, yes, this is a useful instrument, and we guess what? We use it for ministry, too. But just be aware of what's out there. The next one is make your word your bond. And say what you do and do what you say. Your word is what makes you a cowboy. Don't add or take away from your spoken word. Yes means yes and no means no. And I know this seems like a simple concept, but it's missed a lot. And ask yourself, does say and do match up? And that's like a good internal question for all of us. What I profess, do I do? Or am I like deceiving myself? Am I painting this big picture of myself to the public, but then quietly I have a different life? And say and do need to match. Talk less and say more. 50 cents words are better understood than $100 words. You won't bore the receiver with 2 pounds of earwax that will stop up his or her ears. I guess God gave us 2 ears and 1 mouth for a reason. And you know, the thing I'd like to add to that is there's nobody walking the face of the earth that you can't learn something from. And to learn, you probably have to communicate, and to learn, you probably have to listen. You know, we learn visually, but we learn auditorily. And when you enter life and go, you know, I think I can probably learn something from most of the people around me, and you venture into life that way, you'll be surprised how the Lord will speak to you. So, the next one is, some things are not for sale. Your word, truth, love, kindness, and all good things in your heart that make up a cowboy must never be sold for profit. I think that goes without saying. The next one is, know where to draw the line. It takes a lifetime of drawing lines to know where to draw a line. So sit at the feet of old men and women and keep your trap shut and just open your ears. Unless we have figured out where that red line is in our life ahead of time, when we come to it, we'll compromise. We have to know where the red line is. I mean, if you guys remember the Obama administration, and he constantly talked about a red line and what he would not permit in the Middle East in the form of aggression, that's going to be a red line in the sand. And yet it was always passed, and then it was like, it seems like they drew another red line. You can't keep drawing red lines. You can't keep drawing one, retreating back from that, and drawing another one. So the best way to defend that red line is to actually get quiet with the Lord and talk about things that are going on and ask the Lord where he wants you to take a stand personally. And by golly, when that red line comes, you're going, no, not doing that. I'm not doing that. If you don't draw that red line, you will compromise back to another position. And largely, that's what's wrong with America today, is that we got so enamored with being blessed in America. America is a unique country in the fact that the Lord has richly blessed this country because we defended Israel. We blessed Israel. We defended Israel. Harry Truman in 1948 made a way for Israel to become a state, to become a country. And through that action, and through the other action, remember the Six-Day War? The Israel Six-Day War? Was it the Yom Kippur War? When Israel was almost run over by all of the Arab states. Richard Nixon was the president, and he was urged to help Israel. He thought about it for a moment, and then he gave the order that everything that can fly is to get in the air and go help that country. It was called Operation Nickel. And when you read about it, it was an enormous airlift that militarily came to the aid of Israel and allowed them to complete that battle and ultimately win. So what I'm saying is that you really have to know what you're going to defend, and you have to let the Lord tell you that. You can't go out on your own. You can't go where the Lord doesn't want you. Because if you go out without the direction of the Lord, there's a good chance you're going to get stung, and you'll withdraw from the battle, and you're going, I'm not doing that again. Well, we're called to be victorious. We are called to go to battle as the Lord would design us to do. So I really believe we're coming into days where we got to make decisions about things that are going to make a difference. The Lord will be with us, but he needs us. Obey all the commandments of the Creator. I was always kind of amazed with some of the southern states that emphasized the Ten Commandments. And they would put the Ten Commandments in the courthouse, or in a school, or on the city hall, and they would kind of bring the Lord's standard, back again. We probably need to revisit that and let the Lord, write on the tablet of our heart what that means to us. The last two are: take care of your horse. If not, then you don't own or ride one. This applies to dogs, cats, and rattlesnakes. Now, I don't know why I said that, but take care of your horse. And I would say take care of like what the Lord gives you. I could say take care of your car, take care of your house, take care of your temple, And the last one is know what evil is. Evil has done a really good job camouflaging itself in the last few years, and sometimes it's hard to sort through that. But this is where the Holy Spirit comes in, and I think one of the most significant gifts we can ask for and receive is the gift of discernment for the days ahead. And the gift of discernment is the ability to actually see in the spirit good from evil. And evil will masquerade as good, And so you have to have the Holy Spirit show you what's in front of you. Oftentimes things are not look as they appear. So the reason that I brought this up is because as we are called to war, we cannot, as Jesus said, have something in us. We have to work very judiciously to do our part to want to rid ourselves from carrying anything that the enemy can use as a foothold and start an invasion. Because let me tell you how the enemy works in his strategy. He loves to have any one of you rise up into a position of influence and authority, and especially it's way better if you have a big following. And then he pushes the button and he blows up the IED. And not only does he take you out, but he takes everybody out around you who now go, they're really deflated. Because now we don't worship men, right? We don't worship men. But we study together and we learn together. And if you're studying and learning with somebody who all of a sudden is caught in something he shouldn't have been caught in, you kind of walk away a little bit wounded yourself. I mean, you look at some of the great TV evangelists. I mean, I think of like Jimmy Swagger and what happened to him. And I mean, the guy was one of the original big TV evangelists. He had thousands of people following him. He spoke out vehemently against what he actually was doing. And then one day, the enemy pushes the button, blows him up, blows up all of his followers, right? They're scattered. Now the sheep are scattered. Now they're delusional, right? And now they go, well, if that happened to that guy, what was he talking? They throw the baby out with the bathwater, right? So it is incumbent upon us to go before the Lord and want to be clean as a whistle so far as it is up to us, so far as it up. Now, don't hear me wrong. I am not making this a works statement, okay? Where you earn and you do and you get brownie points. I'm not talking about that. That's not what the Lord is talking about. He's talking about an internal review of who you are. And the Holy Spirit is so gentle, so gentle. He will burn things out of you without inflicting a lot of pain. He just wants your cooperation, right? If we can start there and become clean vessels, there is no telling how the Lord will use you. And what can one man do? One man can move a mountain. The Lord is just looking for like one man. In Ezekiel, he goes, I was looking for one man. I was looking for one man. That's all he wanted. And he couldn't find one. So it's no mistake that you guys are here. I believe that every one of you have a calling. There's a spark inside of you that the Lord wants now to ignite. And he wants you to operate in the sphere that you've been designed for the days ahead. And I'm going to ask the Lord to give me the ability to hear prophetically for each one of you. And then as he gives it to me, I'm going to speak it into your life. Because I believe that there is a dynamite here, right here. There's dynamite here. The trouble is we don't understand our position, our calling, and our identity going forward. And when we do, I mean, there'll be a ripple across America, right? Now, in today's world, one of the things, and you guys have probably noticed this, I've noticed it, there are what they call mama bears. You ever heard of mama bears? You know what I'm talking about? A lot of social change is taking place. Schools, let's just take schools, okay? Schools, and John, you're out of the school system, right?
Yeah.
Correct me if I'm wrong, okay?
You're correct.
There's a degree of indoctrination taking place in schools.
Yeah.
And where parents think they're sending their kids to school to be educated, well, part of that may take place. Largely, they're being indoctrinated in systems, right? There are women rising up across America that are going to school board meetings, standing in front of the podium and going, "You're not doing this in my school. You're not doing this, you're not doing this, you're not doing this." They are what is called mama bears. Now, a mama bear protects her cubs. And if somebody comes around with those cubs, even the Bible says, you don't want to be around the mama bear, right? The mama bear will tear you to pieces protecting the little cub. That's what's taking place with women, regardless of their marital status, and it almost seems like it's happening more with single women, single moms, who are fighting for their kids. I mean, they're coming with the facts. They're shutting down school boards. They're changing the landscape, right? These are nondescript people that nobody heard of, right? But they're moving the needle. Men are called into that position. But we've been kind of like preoccupied with sports and, you know, a variety of other things. I used to be like a huge sports guy. I loved baseball, and I was very entertained by football. And so when Sunday rolled around, there was always a game to watch, and there was always something to like entertain you. And you guys are from Chicago. I'm originally from Chicago. There was always the Bears and the Cubs, or if you're a Southsider, it was the White Sox. I was a Cub fan forever, you know. But then the athletes started to do this, you know. They started to stop playing the game, and they started to think that they were the mouthpiece, and you know, they started to take a knee, and they started to do all this stuff. And I'm going, you guys are getting like way too much to act like that. I lost interest in all that. I go, this is going in the wrong direction. I don't even want to watch it for entertainment anymore. So anyway, back to mama bears. We're called to be papa bears. You know, there's a position where men are called into pretty quickly, pretty earnestly, and it's going to be a battle. And we have to understand we're going into a battle. The battle will probably be sustained. It'll probably be the rest of our lifetime. But we have to be committed to victory and committed to doing the right thing. And when you settle into that mentally, nobody's going to move you off your position. When you go, if you think this is going to be a one-time shot, in and out, and then I'm going to go back, you're going to get defeated. We have to mentally go, the fight is real, the fight is going to be sustained, and I'm going to probably be in this for the rest of my life, and I'm going to do the right thing, and the Lord's going to guide me. And you have to be settled in that, you know, because it's a big fight, and not only is it a big fight here, it's a big fight over the whole world. People have been in this battle much longer than we have. We are lucky that we are still a nation with some freedoms. Some countries don't have what we have. Well, we better take advantage of what we have, and we better do what the Lord wants us to do, in the days to come.